Hello, hello. Joyful blessings. So today, I thought what we would do is some investigation. And we are going to investigate reality. So I often suggest that you take the devotional practice of asking questions of mind's thoughts, and especially the thoughts when it is repetitional thinking and you succumb to a belief in the tale that mind is tempting you with, especially at that time. So it is in this way that you come to see more and more clearly, and in that seeing comes the stabilizing within the heart of life. Seeing clearly is your stabilizing factor. So it is, we'll call it investigation. But we also call it inquiry, and you've probably heard it called inquiry. But we must at some point make a sincere and loving effort to investigate into the realness of your being, so that the nature of your being stabilizes within, and that the mind is brought back to its rightful place of servant and not master. The only suffering that we will ever know comes from believing in what is not real. So I'd just like you to follow a breath as it comes in and fills the body, and rest in the awareness of it going. Breathing in, aware of going. And again, resting in awareness of a breath filling the lungs and the body, and being in awareness of the released breath as it flows out. So, what is the nature of that which is real? That which you are, and that which is what we call reality. Well, I've listed six qualifying states of what real must show forth. So firstly, I have put down, if it is real, there cannot be a second to it. If it were to have a second, it would not be the only. There would be another. is something else. If there is another part to it, or another state for it to be in, then it would not be real. Two, there cannot be an opposite to it. Okay, such as if tallness were real. If tallness were real, then there could never be short, because that would be an opposite to tall. So we can see tallness is a concept, but it is not real. A concept is never real. Even if we say, hey, wait a minute, my sister is tall and it looks real to me, but that would still be a concept based on someone or something else being what we would decide on as being short. Somewhere along there, someone would have to make some kind of a decision that this is tall because this is short. Opposites are not real. And then someone would have to decide at what height does the statement of tall become real, becomes reality. So to be real, it cannot have an opposite. Number three, it must be unchanging. It must be unchanging. Number four, it must be infinite. In order to be real, it must be infinite. Number five, it cannot be born. Number six, it cannot die. So what I'd like to do is take a look at the old belief systems, especially about the body, the mind, and the world, based on what is real. So if we hold up the body to the essence and the nature of reality, it doesn't meet any one of those criteria. So the body that is seen, that is used, that is an instrument of mind, is not classified as real. It's an object, and every object changes, comes into expression, it changes along the way, and then it may disappear or dissolve from expression. So the body that we so often believe to be ourself has no innate reality. I won't go so far as to call it a figment of the imagination, but the idea we put upon it as being our infinite immortal self is a fantasy, is a dream statement, and it is not reality. So the body cannot be real. It does not qualify for reality. It has opposites, female, male. It changes, oh, constantly. Oh boy, does it change. It's always in the changing mode. Okay. Obviously, it is not infinite. And obviously, there was a birth, a coming into expression of it, a beginning of it. And that which has a beginning must, by definition, also have an ending. So at some point, the body will die. It will dissolve. It will no longer be used. The mind. The mind that we conceive to be our mind from a state of separation, from a state of person or humanhood, or from the state of being the body, what we call and define as our mind does have a second, because that the mind we presume to be ours, that is, in some cases we feel is tormenting us, or it won't be still, or it's constantly, these thoughts are running and I can't stop them. But there is anotherness to the mind. There is the mind that is the mind of God, that is the reality of this mind that we think is ours. So the mind that we think is ours cannot be ours, because it has an opposite. It has something beyond it. Okay. And the mind is ever changing. 1 minute happy, 1 minute unhappy. And this mind, this finite mind that flows the stream of thoughts of separation and doubt and anxiety and fear, this mind is not infinite. It is finite. Because within this mind, there is the idea. The idea is carried of separation. And separation is a concept of finiteness. So the mind also cannot be real. The mind that we call our mind cannot be real. The mind was born, the finite mind was born along with the body. And the finite mind, you will come to see as you recognize it as not being real, will dissolve, will die because of its non-reality. It is transcended. And once it is transcended, we can term it as having dissolved, as having died. So the mind that we think is our mind is not our true mind at all. The true mind is the servant. The true mind is stayed, resting, and peaceful within our infinite being. The mind that turns outward with judgments and concepts, ideas and beliefs, that mind is not our mind. It is only something we call mind. And what we call mind is an accumulation of thoughts. What we perceive to be our mind is but an accumulation of thoughts, thoughts that rise and thoughts that drift back down. And the world that we conceive with our finite mind is not real. With the finite mind, we conceive duality, we conceive separation. And as we conceive them and we perceive them, we actually believe that our eyes are reporting reality to us. And it looks like to the finite mind that every object separate from another object means separation. And since within the finite mind there is the belief that we are separate, we see a body over there and over there, and we accept the belief system that we are separate, one from the other, that there is no oneness. And we struggle and we search and we pray and we meditate to actually attempt to discover this oneness. But the finite mind will never discover oneness. And I actually use the term oneness quite loosely, because once we say one, there is along the conception that there can be two, and there cannot. So we conceive the world based on the belief systems that we are adhering to or holding to. So the world conceived of this finite mind is not real. A world of separation is not real. When you question this finite mind, you will discover it has no reality. The finite mind deals in the belief system of separation. Okay. So, as we investigate, what do we discover? Well, you may discover that the belief systems that you hold to are not real, that they're not reality, that the thoughts do not report reality. Even the thought, I am that I am, cannot report in the mind reality, because the I that you are is beyond description. Okay. So the mind cannot report reality. The eyes, as long as they're connected to a finite mind system, cannot report reality. Nor can the ears, or the touch, or the taste, or the smell. Because in the attempt to report, we can only use words and concepts. So we take up this investigation as the mind tempts us to believe that we are finite, that we are separate, when all the while the reality of our being fulfills every quality of reality. Beside me, there is no second. I have no opposite. There is no place outside of infinity, and I am infinity. That which is truth does not change, and I am that. I have never been born, and I will never die. The real in you is timeless. You have never been born. When you investigate the actions of mind, you find quite easily, you see quite clearly that mind has always been a deceiver and a distraction. The finite mind. So, now we have it. The body is not real, the mind is not real, and the world is not real, and all that is the self, the I. So, do you have any questions? When you are sincere, when you are living out from your being, when you are investigating every temptation to believe that you are not what you are, you will see quite clearly and quite quickly the fallacy of a finite mind. Again, the only sorrow and suffering we will ever know is from believing in that which is not real. You can see that quite quickly when you look at a belief that you may still be holding about being the body. The belief about being separate and striving and seeking to see oneness. But you're not separate. You're not separate. You are that which is. So the investigation or the inquiry bring that into being part of your daily practices. So as you investigate, you really do come to see that there is absolutely no separation and there are no opposites. The belief system of opposites and separation comes only from a finite thinking. If we go back to the tall and short, that certainly appears to be opposites. Questions, comments.
Thank you for a very good talk.
Well, thank you very much there, Chuck. Thank you. Is there a spark from the talk? Is there a inspiration from the talk to investigate the mind when it says you're not there yet, when it says you can't be that, or when it says you have a long way to go, or when it says you have to meditate 6 more times a day, or when it says let's read another book, maybe you'll get it from that. Are you inspired to investigate the thinking that comes from this finite mind? And rest in freedom and happiness instead of struggling and seeking. Are you inspired? Are you being encouraged? Are you encouraged to see the fantasy of duality, the fantasy of a finite mind? Are you ready to see it and go past it? Are you encouraged to put forth the effort? Are you encouraged to be still and rest in the divine infinite that is your reality. You are not a finite being. I hope that you are encouraged. To inquire and investigate. Look within. Is there a deep sincerity there to wake up? Or is finite mind enjoying the path of seeking? And that's okay too.
Can I ask something, Mary?
Yes. Yes.
The sincerity is great, but the confusion is greater, and I don't know how to get past confusion. Well,
what are you confused about?
It's like there is a lot of, it's like the non-reality still seems real, more real than the truth.
Yes. Yes. Because we give more attention to the non-real than we do the real. This is why I'm asking, are you encouraged to investigate that?
I am encouraged, and I don't enjoy the finite path. So I really want to get past through it. And I've been in silence for the last past days, but it's like I'm still a witness. There's still a sense of separation. There's still just someone who is looking.
That is okay.
Okay.
That is okay if there's still a sense of separation. But when that sense of separation is there, do you investigate it? Do you go in and inquire, how can there be separation? How can separation be possible, and you investigate.
When I investigate, I find nothing, and that then comes the confusion.
No. If you're investigating and holding it up to the qualities of reality, that's investigation. Is this confusion of separation?
I would say a barrier.
Confusion of separation unchanging. No, it's not. It changes all the time. Sometimes there's confusion, sometimes there's not. Okay? Is confusion of the mind, is that infinite? Does it go on eternally? No, it does not. The finite mind does not go on. It changes and comes back to happiness, and it swings back to separation, and it swings back to oneness. So that's not real. Okay. So the investigation has to be a real, sincere, holding up that thought and that belief system and that idea to what is real.
So are you saying that there is still a sense of interest in the phenomenon, and that's why it remains?
It could be. It could be. Some students do like the let's say, the thrill or the hard work to get to the end of the road, you know? There is this something, I think, within Westerners that they believe that the harder they work, the sweeter the reward.
Yes.
So if you work very, very hard, I've been meditating 6 times a day. I've read 300 books so far, and I've gone to 700 hours of tapes, and I've done this and I've done that, and I've suffered and I've suffered and I've suffered. And thinking that then when it happens, it will be so joyful, and it's not.
Okay. Right. And is this sense of urgency also a trap?
Yep.
Okay.
What
Thank
has
you,
to
Mary.
Be urgent? Yeah. There's no urgency. You already are what you are. You see, you're already that.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
You're welcome, love. You're welcome. So in sincerity, if that sincerity is there, then it would be such a pleasure from the withinness to investigate. How can separation be real? The mind, this finite mind is saying, I'm not there yet. How can that which is already not be there? And investigate. There's nothing wrong or right about a thought of, I'm still confused, or I still have a sense of separation. Okay, fine, you're aware of a thought about a sense of separation. You're aware of a thought about confusion. If you're investigating, you will see that that thought about confusion is not real. That thought, the thought, not the reality, but the thought about separation is just a thought about separation. That because there's a thought about separation does not make separation a reality. Separation doesn't meet the qualities and the qualities of reality. So when you investigate, when you look at the thought that is causing or seems to be the cause of confusion or seems to be the cause of anxiety or seems to be the cause of suffering, if you will investigate it, first of all, the first question is, is this real or is it just another thought? I'm seeing separation. I see two puppies. I see four trees. I see 20 people. That all suggests to mind that there is a separation. Okay, so it's a suggestion is not reality. So I'm aware of what I would call four trees. I'm aware of what it would be called two puppies. We use language when we are trying to communicate. Language is probably one of the most confusing ways to communicate. But if you see that the idea or the thought of separation is just that, a thought that rises, a suggestion that rises, an awareness that rises, I'm aware of a thought about separation that doesn't make the thought of separation, reality. Okay. The real you is the timeless, never born and beyond death. Rest in the real, for the unreal has no existence except in a finite mind. And even then, it has no existence because it's only a thought. A smoke screen. Any other comments or questions? Then let us pray. O most beloved self, who has no second or opposite, who is never changing, who is the unborn infinite that never dies. That is the reality of my being. That is the I that I am. Thanks be that thy loving grace is always present. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. O Father beloved, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Om Namaste.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.